Well, thank you all for coming to my talk today. We're going to look at the effects of single and mixed PVY infections on vector efficiency. So I'm going to cover a lot of what Babu covered already. North America does face a PVY epidemic, and Minnesota seed lot rejections give a good example of that. Here we have percent rejection for recertification, and that percent rejection for recertification is based on visual virus indexing. I want to stress that. We can look at year on the x-axis, and we see that though there have been low years for the majority in the last 10 years, we've really had really high levels of rejection rates, somewhere upwards of about, on average, about 35%. That means that the seed potatoes that are out there in Minnesota, those growers are losing a third of those seed lots every year. So to understand why those growers are continuing to have those seed lot rejections, we wanted to look at potato virus Y, and we wanted to look at the different strains. Babu's already covered this. Potato virus Y is a non-persistently transmitted virus. Its main vectors are those that are non-colonizing. It's acquired within seconds and transmitted in seconds because it is located in the epidermis, is that aphid determines if it's an appropriate host, it probes with its stylet mouth parts, can acquire the virus quickly, then move and transmit the virus quickly. Insecticides are not effective in controlling it because the quick acquisition, and there's several strains and isolates. PVYO, the common strain, or the old strain, has very clear symptomology. Yellowing of the leaf tissue is shown here and here. Easy to see in the field and locate in potato. On the other hand, and similarly, PVY-NTN, necrotic tuber necrosis, has very good visual symptomology in potato. You also have symptomology that's going to cause these raised rings, which become sunken in areas of secondary infection in storage. Two strains and isolates that do not have very good symptomology at all and are asymptomatic are PVYN and NO. The necrotic strain here in potato gives a very good example. In this cultivar, and it's very cultivar specific, we see the yellowing of the tissue. And this cultivar, on the other hand, also infected with N, has no symptomology. These two plants, one of these is infected with NO, and if I was walking through the field, I would probably pick this one because it seems a little smaller. And in fact, this is the plant that is showing the actual PVY-NO infection. So I want to stress the fact that the N and the NO are very hard to see as you're walking through the field. Based on that, we started to do some survey results to kind of look at what's going on for visual virus indexing. Here's our years and PV plus, and this is the probability that given a positive visual virus in, or visual reading, that it's actually infected by ELISA, or it's actually infected and we detect that by ELISA. And we can see it ranges anywhere from 50% to 75%. So that means that you could be as good as walking through the field and flipping a coin, and that's how you're gonna see it visually. If we look at the probability given a negative visual reading, the plant is not infected, we can see that for the most part, they do a pretty good job except for 2007, where they got only 30% of those right. So not only are they not detecting those that are infected, but they're actually missing the ones that don't show any kind of symptomology. The strains are are increasing as well, and we can see that for the most part, N and NTN have been pretty static in the north central plains. However, if we look at NO, we've increased from 30% to 75%. And N on the other, or O on the other hand, has been decreasing. So we really wanted to understand why we have this NO epidemic occurring. We also have increased in mixed infections that have steadily been increasing from 17% to 35%. Now there are numerous aphid vectors of potato viruses in the north central region. Those in blue are those that colonize potato. Those in yellow are those that are non-colonizing. All of them transmit PVY and some of them transmit leaf roll. One that we've had a new introduction since 2000, the soybean aphid, Aphis glycines. We've shown in our lab that it transmits not only PVY, but recently have shown that it transmits a persistently transmitted virus, even though it doesn't colonize potato. So what is this effect that this new aphid is having? Is that what's moving around NO? Here we have some data from Dr. Radcliffe's aphid trapping network showing the six most numerous aphid species. We have mean number of aphids per trap over weeks, and none of these colonize potato. All of these do differ in their vector efficiencies. These vector efficiencies are based on actual aphid transmissions, not mechanical inoculations. And we see that soybean aphid of these is one of the most efficient of these six. Now, the rest of these make up in their low efficiencies by sheer numbers of aphids that are coming off those plants and arriving in potato. What's interesting also is that soybean aphid is having an early peak along with Matus and Patti. So based on these results, we really wanted to look at how are these different species transmitting that virus. We took Mysis persicae, our most efficient vector, where you're going to have 100% transmission. We wanted to take aphis glycines, where we have our 33% transmission efficiency, and two very low vector efficiencies, Patti and the P. aphid. For our transmission studies, what we do is we take groups of aphids in three, five, or singly, based on their vector efficiency. For Mysis persicae, we use a single aphid because it is efficient. Glycines and P. aphid, we use groups of three. Patti, we use groups of five. We starve those for 2 hours. We then place them on the abaxial surface of a PVY-infected potato leaf in a clip cage, hold them there for 15 minutes, and then move them to our virus-free test plant, potato plant, clip cage them once again to the abaxial surface for 24 hours, come back, remove the aphids, and then test for virus after 2 weeks. Our PVY source plants are O, NO, and our mixed infection of O and NO combined. Transmission tests were repeated 6 times. Each replicate consisted of 4 aphid species with 10 clip cages per species. So in the case of green peach aphid, what you had was a single aphid under each clip cage. For a soybean aphid, we had to have 3 aphids under each clip cage. Virus identification, we did ELISA, multiplex R2-PCR from different sources of our PCR primers, and bioassays into tobacco. Transmission efficiencies were estimated using a maximum likelihood estimate because we're using more than just a single aphid. We're using them in groups of 3 or in groups of 5. Our confidence intervals were calculated using the Microsoft Excel add-on pooled infection rates from Bigger Staff in 2006. Overall, our PVY efficiencies follow pretty much what's been reported in the literature. Green peach aphid higher than soybean aphid, than Patti, than P. aphid. What are the effects of those different strains? If we look at Mysis persicae, we see no significant differences in transmission between the different strains of O, NO, or mixed. Though there is a trend, they're not significantly different if we look at our 95% confidence intervals. Similarly, for soybean aphid, no significant differences in transmission between the different strains. For bird cherry oat aphid, PVY mixed was transmitted significantly less than O and NO. And for P. aphid, we had no transmission of PVYO. However, we did have transmission with O and mixed. So in conclusion, green peach aphid and soybean aphid had no significant differences in vector efficiencies from a potato source to a potato containing PVYO, NO, and mixed. Bird cherry oat aphid had significantly reduced vector efficiencies from a mixed source. P. aphid transmitted PVY only from an NO or mixed source. This is the first report of NO and O mixed infection effects on transmission efficiencies. Well, it's not, because Babu had some too, so maybe we're tied. It appears that rapid increase in PVY-NO is not due to differences in vector efficiencies, but is due to visual virus indexing failures. Now, we're also doing additional EPG studies to see if there is some kind of feeding difference in those different strains, but at this point, I can confidently say it, that NO is not due to vector efficiencies, but really is due to the inoculum. And with that, I'll take any questions. Thank you very much. Oh, come on. Yes, Babu.
You mentioned the acquisition period would be about 15 minutes.
Yes.
Do you think the shorter acquisition period perhaps
possibly, but at the same time, I know from our leaf roll studies when we're doing soybean aphid that if we hold them for short enough times, it's not going to give them enough time to actually probe at all. So we know that 15 minutes on average, and that's been documented in the literature as well, that should be sufficient time for them to have a chance to settle down in those clip cages. Because if you have groups of 3 or 5, they're going to be releasing those alarm pheromones. They're not going to want to settle down right away. So if we have given them 15 minutes, that should give them enough time to settle down and begin probing. Yes, Astrid.
Jack, you flashed up really quickly some data showing differences in efficiency with one of those species.
I'll try to get this one. Yep.
Methane and O strain, but then mixed infection. What do you think is going on at the stylet tips? Is there maybe some sort of interaction between two different strains that could be affecting the release of the virus from the cuticle?
There is some data in the literature. I can't remember if it's Gibson or Harrington or one of those, but they actually took green peachy aphid and a couple other aphids, and they would put them on an N source first, then move them to an O source and see what their vector efficiencies were compared to O and N. N consistently reduced transmission. O, though, on the other hand, did not have any effect. So it's either from, you know, in the mid-80s to early 90s, he has that literature.